Turn in your Bibles back to John 4 and then find John 4 and then find John 15 also. I want you to go to John 15 first. You have a city, I remember winning other people here in times past. You have a city that's ripe unto harvest. There's no reason why you shouldn't be out there winning souls.
Right.
Soul winning is not a calling. Soul winning is not a gift. Soul winning is a command.
Right.
If we're right with God, we're going to go soul winning some way, shape, or form. Now, some of us can't go out and knock on doors, but maybe you could go to a nursing home or a hospital or something like that. Some of us perhaps can't get out, but we could pick up the phone and do this in the telephone book and call them and give them the plan of salvation on the telephone book. And we could do something to help people. We could mail tracts and write letters to lost people.
Right.
We could do a lot of things. I wrote letters to my Aunt Doris for decades. Sent her tracts for decades. And she sent them back. My mother's sister. At my mother's funeral, I was 19. My pastor, Dr. John Rawlings, said my mother was the most godly woman he ever met. I wondered what he meant by that. He had a wife. But anyway, you're supposed to laugh there. And said my dad was mean as a snake. I'm confident my mother went home because of her desire for her husband to be saved, and the Lord slipped her out into eternity so her husband would be saved, and my dad was saved 2 days later over her casket at the funeral. Who ever heard of dying from an adenoid operation? But my Aunt Doris, a couple of years ago, had a stroke. A nurse all of her life, served people, served two husbands, and died on her, and now in older years she has a stroke. I take my wife and go down to the nursing home in Cincinnati to visit her. I walk in and she extends the arm that she can use and moves the face muscles that she can use to smile and draw me over to her side. She knew exactly who I was. I kissed her and greeted her and talked to her and tried to understand her as the best I could, and she saw my wife and went like this, and those face muscles she could use on that side. I greeted my wife, and my wife went over and hugged her and talked to her a little bit and kissed her, and then I said, "Aunt Doris, I've been sending you letters and tracts for decades. It's time for you to get saved." She went like this. In a little while, she received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Don't let your loved ones go to that extent. You stay after them. You stay after them. You stay after them. Get on your knees and pray as we talk this morning. If you weren't here this morning, you need to get the CD. It's a 56-minute sermon on prayer. God answers prayer. I want you to look in John 15, 16. I mentioned this morning that I was going to preach on soul winning. It is one way to get your prayers answered. And I'll guarantee you, every soul winner gets their prayers answered. I have not chosen you, but I have. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. That's soul winning, and that your fruit should remain. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. What do you need? Who do you want to see saved? What do you want to see happen? What do you need from God? I recommend you come out Thursday night, I noticed in the bulletin, and go out and knock on some doors. I recommend you come out on Saturday and help on some bus routes and van routes. I recommend you get out there and pass out some tracts and witness to people. It's so easy to win folks to Christ. It really is. I told Lupe today. I said, "Lupe, I've got some good news for you. Tell you how to know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You'd like to know how, wouldn't you?" I said, "Take me a few minutes." And in a little while, she bowed her head with tears and received Jesus Christ. Amen. You can do that. Anybody can do that. "Hi, got some good news for you. Tell you how you can know for sure if you die today, you'd go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you?" Don't say, would you like to know that? They could say no. No one says no to, you'd like to know that, would you? Wouldn't you? Hello? Anybody ever ask you how if you're having a good day? Asking me how you're doing today. Ask me that. How you doing today? I'd have to go to heaven to get any better. Are you going? There's silence. You'd like to go, wouldn't you? Hello? You're quiet. Maybe if you just adjust some things, the way you say some things, it'll help you in your soul winning. And soul winning, it can be fun. Lady behind the counter when I checked in yesterday, hi, got some good news for you, tell you how you can know for sure you'd go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? Bingo. What am I going to do, say go on to hell and walk away? Huh? Can you do that? Anybody can do that. Sure you can. You want your prayers answered? Become a soul winner. You want your prayers answered? Increase your soul winning. If I can have four saved while I can hear, I'm here, you can get up and have somebody saved this whole next year or something.
Right.
Amen? You say, well, Brother Smith, you taught that 17 years. Yeah, but you didn't know me when I was a kid, thumb-sucking little kid back in the corner. You don't know me now as an adult. I'd rather be alone and quiet somewhere by myself than with a group of people. I'd rather have it that way. But you know what? It's so easy to get folks saved. It's not funny. Hi, I got some good news for you. Tell you how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? Yeah. Who wouldn't want to know? I was knocking on a door, soul winning I've forgotten where now, up near the First Baptist Church, Hammond, and a young man came to the door. Well, I don't want to call him a man. He looked like a... Well, anyway, and his shorts were 6 inches below his underwear. You know how they wear stuff now. And it's easy to judge. And I said, hey, got some good news for you. Tell you how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. And he said, I'm going to hell. I said, but if you could go to heaven, you'd like to go, wouldn't you? He said, yeah. It wasn't long, 10, 15, 20 minutes later, he received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Amen. He was convinced he was going to hell. Now, you want your prayers answered? Go soul winning. What do you need from God? Is it so hard to go soul winning to get your prayers answered? Do you have a lost loved one somewhere? Get out and go soul winning. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You reap winning folks to Christ, and God will bless you with your relatives. Amen. With your loved ones. Now back to John 4. Once again, where the pastor read. In verse 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria and drew the water, and Jesus said unto her, give me a drink. And verse 9, then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Let me stop there. Samaria, here's Jerusalem. Here's Judea. Here's Samaria, and here's Galilee. And Jews up here, Jews down here, and half-breeds here. That's what Samaritans are. Half Jews, half Gentiles. Jordan River runs this way. And the Jews would cross the Jordan River, go up the other side of the Jordan River where modern-day country of Jordan is. It's a half tribe of Manasseh, Gad and a half tribe of Manasseh in that day and time. And they crossed back over the Jordan when they got to Galilee to go to Galilee. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew the woman with the well was there. He knew the half-breeds were there. Listen, dear friend, Jesus said, whoever it is that that needs Christ, we need to go. Black or brown or white or whoever they are. I must needs go through Samaria. Now let's look at something here. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from hence hast thou living water, that the art thou greater than our father Jacob gave it us? And the well, and he drank thereof, and his children and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. The word drink in the Greek there is in a linear active verb, action verb. I mean, drink and drink and drink and drink and drink. Now watch verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. Arrow is tense, punctiliar, one time. All you have to do is drink one time. Lupe drank one time today. Amen. The waitress drank one time today. And that's all they have to drink. Now, they may not understand all about it. And I'm sure they don't. But they can be taught and they can learn. And dear friend, tonight, if you want to get your prayers answered and want to see some folks saved, you need to get out there and go soul winning. I want to look at eight things about Jesus as a soul winner. He was a master soul winner. Number one, Jesus went soul winning when he was weary. It's about the sixth hour, 12 noon. He's walked 30 miles from Jerusalem up to Jacob's Well. That's between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. My wife and I have been there. I sat on that well. I've had water from that well. It's a very deep well. Still there. He's very tired. And he's weary. And I know when you come home Thursday night after work, you're weary, men. But you just tell yourself, ask God to take your weakness and give you his strength. Right. And watch him do it. Weariness is an excuse of the devil. I'm weary also. I'll be weary when I get up in the morning at 4 o'clock. I'll be weary when I preach again at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, 269 miles from here. But dear friend, weariness doesn't count. They've got a job to do. Folks are going to hell. Oh, listen, he was soul winning when he was weary. And we need to throw our excuses away. Brother Tom Doerr and I were out knocking doors in a mobile home park. And we came to a Spanish man's house, and it was his turn, and he knocked on the door, and the man came out and had a hat in his hand. And as most Spanish people are, he was very polite. It was obvious he's getting ready to go to work and wanted to go. But Brother Doerr gave him the gospel and gave it to him clearly and plainly and took good time with him, probably 20 minutes. And the man kept saying, I gotta go. And finally, the man just bolted down the sidewalk toward his car. And I said, "Stop!" He went. Rrr! I said, "You can't go till we pray." He said, "Oh," took his hat off, bowed his head with me. I prayed out the plan of salvation, held out my New Testament. And I said, "If you'd like to receive Christ as your personal Savior, and be sure if you die today you go to heaven, put your hand on this Bible." He did. Received Christ. Out the gate he went, got in his car, went off to work. Amen? Now listen to me. We could have let him go. But we have to do some things to stop people, to keep them out of hell. Everybody you see is going to die and go to hell. Hell's in an enlargement program, folks. And if we don't do something about it, Thursday night's the night. What time, Pastor? 7 o'clock. Say, "I don't know how." Come anyway. You go with somebody that knows how. And if you watch long enough, you'll learn how. Amen. I thank God for my Sunday school teacher, Oath Alexander. He took me soul winning every Monday night. 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 World without end. Year without after year. Without and after year. He came to the house, picked me up. That was his soul winning night. It wasn't the church soul winning night. Now, I don't know if I went with Mr. Alexander because he loved me. I don't know if I went with him because he had a neat Packard convertible. I don't know if I went with him because he bought me a Borden's ice cream cone for a nickel after we went. But he came and got me, and I went. And we went. And we went. And those of you who are not going, if you'll just come and go with somebody. Right. Just come and learn. Just come and watch. Just come and walk around with somebody. Just come and listen to somebody. Once a year, the pastor teaches soul winning. And come and learn. And then when he teaches soul winning, you can take the course and learn a little more about it. And as you grow and 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 you're soul winning, you'll become a confident soul winner. You can pray like the disciples did in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They prayed for boldness. And under persecution, they still witnessed for Christ. They didn't care where they were killed. They didn't care where they were put in prison. They didn't care about anything. But they witnessed for Christ. And in Acts 4:31, they spake the word of God with boldness, and souls were saved. I know you're tired after work. I was born tired. It's a lot of work getting bored. Did you know that? Where's the fellow out? I was born tired. But come on and go soul winning anyway. Jesus went soul winning when he was tired. Jesus went soul winning when he's hungry. Why don't you come without supper? Just bring an apple with you. Eat it on the way. Bring a glass of a cup of water, a bottle of water. Did you know, quit complaining about how much gasoline is. Do you know water in a bottle in a vending machine is $8 a gallon? $8 a gallon at $1 a bottle. Amen. Anyway, you ought to figure out what you pay for some things. Figure out what a gallon of Banaca cost. Well, we used to use Banaca, a little quarter ounce. It cost about $80 or $90 a gallon. Yeah. And we preachers used it and used it and used it, didn't think any about it. Hello? Amen. You know, Jesus went soul winning when he's hungry. It's noontime. And he goes to the wellhead there, and he sees the lady there, the woman at the well, but his disciples went in town to McDonald's to get something to eat. You know what? Soul winning is a whole lot more important than eating. We need to realize that we need to sacrifice some time and sacrifice some energy, sacrifice maybe a meal once in a while to see some folks saved. Amen, Brother Smith.
Right.
It's noontime. It's time to eat. They'd walk 30 miles. He's weary. He's hungry. He's thirsty. But he comes up to the well, and he gives the woman the water of life that she'd never had before. And dear friend, he didn't care that she was a Samaritan. And he didn't care that she was a harlot, having had five husbands. Oh, you listen to me. Our boys are being slaughtered over there in Iraq by those Muslims. But I want to tell you something. Christ died for the Muslim just like he died for you. And they need to be saved also. Now, there are a lot of folks that I don't like what they do. I don't like how they do it as far as their sin. The sodomites, I can't stand, but I have to love the person. Hello? We need to hate the sin and love the person. Amen. Hate the sin and love the person. Your neighbor may do something, some things that you don't like, but you hate the things they don't like, but you better love him. Christ died for him just like he died for you. You may have a son or a daughter or a brother or sister that does things that you don't like. Maybe they're an alcoholic or a drug addict or do pornography. By the way, 50% of all fundamental Baptist men watch pornography on the internet by survey. If I had internet in my house, if I was a wife, I'd stand behind him and watch. Or I'd put in the proper software and I'd keep the password to it so he can't get it. Amen? Amen? Now, we hate that stuff. I thank God that I don't know how to get on it. Don't look at me that way. I don't need it. 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 Why do I need it? I have a wife. She knows how to get on it. Hello? Now, you listen to me. We need to hate sin and love sinners. We look at people out here, long hair and all that. Marty Hobbs and his wife, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And thank God for Miss Miller. She went into the trailer court and picked up the Hobbs kids and brought them to church 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 and brought. After several months, one Sunday morning, Marty Hobbs and his wife came in. He came in. They rode up on their Harley, parked it right out front, right at the bottom of the steps, and came in all their black leather, long hair. He looked like a wolf, ragged, rough. And she didn't look a whole lot better in her black leather either. Amen. I changed my whole sermon that morning, and I preached on hell, and I preached on salvation. And about 20 minutes into the sermon, he got up and left. And I thought, well, I blew him out. And about 10 minutes later after that, he came back, and I'm still preaching. And when I gave the invitation, Mr. and Mrs. Hobbs walked down the aisle, received Jesus Christ wonderfully. And I said, Marty, where'd you go for 10 minutes? He said, I couldn't stand the heat. I had to go out and get some liquor in the saddlebags. You know, if I'd have had a bad attitude about Brother Hobbs, Mr. Hobbs, I would have never loved him enough to preach a message to him in love that he needed to get saved to stay out of hell. How about your brother? Do you love him? Your sister, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle. Who are they out there without Christ? Do you love them enough to give up a little time and go talk to them about Christ? Do you love your neighbor enough to talk to them about Christ? Dear friend, Jesus went when he was hungry. He went when he was weary. Oh, tonight, I beg of you to realize that we're all given the command to go soul winning. And Jesus traveled great distances to go soul winning. That was 30 miles to win one person to Christ. I had a secretary in Pine Bluff where I was pastor. Her name was Janet Anderson. I'd led her husband to Christ, and she'd been led to Christ a little time earlier by one of the ladies in the church, one of the singers in our church. And they came and got involved and eventually became my secretary, and they sang in the choir, and he drove a bus route. And one day on a big day, he'd brought 159 in one bus. Can you imagine? And I don't know how many young people got saved that day and how many got saved on his bus route through the years that he drove that bus. But you know what, dear friends? He got saved and he did something for Christ. He went out and won souls to Christ. One day I came to work and Janet was crying. Woo! 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 She's slinging tears everywhere. I said, Janet, what's wrong? She said, my brother David's lost, going to hell. Oh, oh, day after day. Oh, and we couldn't work. We couldn't do a thing. I said, Janet, where's he live? He said, West Memphis, Arkansas. I said, West Memphis, Arkansas? That's 158 miles from here. Oh. Would you get some tears for your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your son, your daughter? I said, all right, give me the address, give me the name, give me the phone number. And I said, what time did you get home? She said, 4 o'clock. And I drove to West Memphis, Arkansas, 158 miles. Went to the house 4 o'clock. He wasn't there yet. His wife answered. And I said, tell him I'll be back. And so I went over, got a donut and coffee like all preachers do, except your preacher, he doesn't eat that kind of stuff. And he's too thin to eat donuts. Amen. And I came back to the house. He came to the door. He knew why I was there. We went in the family room, sat on the couch. I took my testament, led him to Christ. The next morning, he got up. That was a Saturday. The next morning, he got up, went to a local independent Baptist church, walked out, was baptized, and hasn't missed a Sunday since. Because a sister had a burden for a brother. When's the last time you shed a tear over a lost soul? When's the last time you wept over your children that weren't doing right for God? Oh, listen, Jesus traveled great distances. When's the last time you got in your car and drove 500 miles to witness to somebody? A few years ago, I got in my pickup truck. I drove from Indiana to Kentucky to visit my relatives. Uncle Hubert had cancer. Uncle Hubert, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? He said, yes, Larry, I was saved when I was in. He gave me a testimony. Aunt Hetty, do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? Yes, Larry, I was saved. And she gave me a testimony. All down through my relatives, all through the Kentucky hills there where I came from, and to make sure all of my relatives were saved. On the way down through Lexington, and I stopped and to see my aunt and checked her out, make sure she was saved, and everybody that was living that I could find. And very frankly, the whole side of that family was saved, and I thank God for it. And I want to give credit to Peter Cartwright, the horseback riding evangelist from a century ago, and for a century and a half ago, very frankly, for bringing the gospel to that part of the world. When's the last time you got in your car and drove 300 or 400 miles to win somebody to Christ? Jesus walked 30. Huh? When's the last time you put out some extra effort? You know, if you put out the extra effort, they know why you're there. Hello. And they're going to listen to you. Oh, listen tonight. Jesus went soul winning when he was thirsty. He went soul winning when he was weary. Jesus went soul winning when he was thirsty and weary and hungry. And he traveled great distances. I was knocking on doors and came to a little place in Maryville, Indiana. I was training soul winners at Hiles Anderson College and taking the senior men out. And we'd go out and spend an hour and a half together. And I came to a house. They were having a prayer meeting. They said, come on in. I went in. And they're, oh, I don't know, half a dozen people there having a prayer meeting. I don't know what kind they were, quote unquote, of people. But they were having a prayer meeting. And I said, well, I'm Brother Larry Smith, and I just stopped by. I want to tell you how you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? Yeah. A little while, six adults, received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I was out knocking on doors, and I came to a little mobile home. I mean, it wasn't any longer than this platform. And a young couple lived there, and the kitchen table wasn't big enough for three people. It was big enough for two. That's all it was made for. I sat down and started giving them the gospel, got through 2 points of the plan of salvation, and a knock came at the door. Another young couple, I answered the door. I said, I'm Brother Smith, Victory Baptist Church, and come on in. We're finding out how to know for sure if we died today, we'd go to heaven. They came in and sat down. And we got through two or three points of the plan of salvation, and there came a knock on the door. And there's another young couple there, and I answered the door, and I said, hey, I'm Brother Smith for Victory Baptist Church, and come on in. We're learning how to know for sure if we die today, we go to heaven. And they came in, and now we got seven people around this two-person table. We went through the plan of salvation. The first couple heard it numbers of times. The second person heard it part of it twice. And the third people heard it all the way through. And when I got done, I laid my testament on the table. I said, now, if you'd like to be sure if you die today, you go to heaven, put your hand on that Bible. And they just like pancakes, six of them stacked up there together. You know, soul winning's fun. Amen? Amen? Why don't you come Thursday night, tired or not? Why don't you come Thursday night, hungry or not? Why don't you come Thursday night, dirty or not? Why don't you come Thursday night, thirsty or not? You come! If the Savior can go soul winning, so can you. Hello? If the Savior can go soul winning, so can you. Oh, dear friend, get on the bus route. Get on the van routes. Get out there and do something for Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus went soul winning among the religious rich in government. John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. There was a ruler of the Jews came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus. And he said, good master, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doest these miracles that thou doest. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't answer. He didn't understand. How can I get back in my mother's womb again? He said, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water. That's the natural birth. And of the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And what that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to thee, you must be born again. Right. Oh, listen to me. If you'll use the new birth with the Catholics, you'll have a whole lot better chance than if you use the word save. I quote this passage to Catholics instead of talking about being saved. I was at a door one day. A lady came to the door. She said, I'm Catholic. And I said, wow, what beautiful churches. And she went like that. She's not used to it. I said, beautiful stained glass windows, beautiful weddings, beautiful funerals. Wow. And she kind of backed off a little bit. You know, she wasn't so pressured to get rid of me. I said, you believe the Bible, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, believe in heaven, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, you believe in Jesus, don't you? She said, yeah. I said, so do we. Right. We believe a lot alike. Right. And I said, if you die today, you're 100% sure you go to heaven, or would you have some doubt about it? And she tried to get rid of me and tried to get rid of me and tried to get rid of me, and I wouldn't leave. Finally, she wouldn't listen. And I said, ma'am, before I go, I'm a pastor. I'm going to pray for you. She said, no. I said, yeah, you got burdens. She said, no. I said, ma'am, you have burdens. I'm going to pray for you before I go. She said, oh, okay. And she told me about her son and the problem there, and she really did have a burden. And I bowed my head and prayed for her son. I prayed out the entire plan of salvation. And when it got done, I said, ma'am, if you'd like to be sure, if you die today, you go to heaven, would you place your hand on this Bible? And real gently, she put her hand on that Bible, and real gently, she received Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Oh, it's so much fun going soul winning. I'll tell you what, I don't care. Nothing beats going soul winning to get you perked up. If you're tired, when you get to witnessing to people, it will perk you up. Stop the first person you see and witness to them. Stop the first person you see and witness to them. I was out soul winning with my son-in-law one day. I said, "Now, Jeff, as soon as I see a person, I'm out of this van. I said, "I'm gone." He said, "Oh, okay." And there's a fellow walking down the street. And I pulled over the curb, threw it in park, jerked the key out. He wondered where I was going. And I grabbed the track and I started after him. He's out in the middle of the street. I said, "Sir, got some good news for you. Tell you how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven." He turned around. He said, "You led me to Christ last week." He said, "But there's some sinners over here in this house that need to get saved." He walked over to the house, went through the front door, and I thought to myself, what am I getting into? And he said, "Come on, preacher." And he got in there, and the grandpa was sitting in the living room in his rocking chair, and he said, I told him who I was. He said, "You got a bus, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Pick up my grandchildren Sunday morning." That'll fill a bus, amen. Matter of fact, we did fill a bus that year, that bus route. We put 100 people on that bus. I never rode it one time. Went into the kitchen. He said, "There's some men in there drinking liquor. There's 3 grown men in there." I went in there with my son-in-law. He finally caught up with me. One man out the back door. But you see, the other two stayed. They knew who we were. They had some interest. They both received Jesus Christ as Savior. Whatever it takes, folks. Whatever it takes. I don't care if you're tired, you're weary, you're hungry, you're thirsty. I don't care. Get out there and go. It's a whole lot more exciting, folks, than sitting home and watching some filth on television. It's a whole lot more exciting than taking a nap and wasting your evening. Get out there and go Thursday night. I was knocking on doors, and an Austrian lady came to the door. Well, I know what. She was out in the yard, and she had a green thumb like this lady in the church that grows the flowers, and thank God for that. I happen to have one, but I'm not home enough to make my thumb work. But anyway, my wife's thumb is brown. All she has to do is touch it. It all turns dead. But anyway, I'm not kidding. She either overwaters or underwaters or whatever. Thank God for plants. I love plants. I plant a big flower garden for her every spring so she can sit and look out the window and look at the flowers and praise God for all the colors and the ability to see in color. Just for her. All the colors. Anyway, this lady, she's from Austria. I talked to her for an hour in her yard. I thought to myself, I'm not leaving until she gets saved. And, you know, God knows your heart. Hello? And I said, "Ma'am," she wouldn't listen to anything. She's on and on and on and on. I said, "Do you have a Bible?" She said, "Yeah." She's Catholic. And we went in, got this big Bible out, looked like a big dictionary. I turned to Romans 3:10. 3:23, 5:8, 5:12, 10:9, 10:13. But at the same time, I had my Bible right next to hers, King James, giving them the Word of God. Got down to the bottom. I said, "The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you believe according to God's word if you'd ask him to save you?" She said, "Yeah." By the way, that's what you say. You don't say, "Would you like to be saved?" You say, "Do you believe according to God's word that he'd save you if you'd ask him to?" You establish your faith. She said, "Yeah." I said, "If the Lord would take you to date, forgive your sins, give you home in heaven," this is what I say to everybody, "would you let him do it?" She said, "Yeah." And I bowed and asked God to pray. I asked God to save her and thank God for her. I said, "We're in the presence of God. He knows your heart. He knows mine. I'd like you to call on Jesus, ask him to save you, forgive your sins, give you home in heaven." I go right ahead. She froze. So as I always do, I said, "Well, it's okay. Let me help you." Just like our buddy Val. And we're going to call on Jesus and ask him to save you and forgive your sins, give you home in heaven. And just right after me, right out of your heart, right out loud, "Here we go, dear Jesus." She froze. She would not pray. She said, I got to go. The devil's real. Do you know that? I said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I don't know." I said, "Lady, I'm not leaving until you get saved. What's for supper?" She said, "Oh, all right." It's kind of like that. Now listen to me. You say, "I can't be that way." Yes, you can. Just get out there and do it. Pray for boldness. And she received Christ. You know what? 78 years old, she was standing outside her mobile home the next morning and got on the bus. You say, well, you made her get saved. Well, why, I didn't make her get out and get on the bus.
Right.
Hello.
Amen.
Rode that bus for Christ. Amen. And listen, get out there and go soul winning. I don't care how tired you are, how hungry you are. Our Savior did it. The one who redeemed you from hell was a soul winner. You telling me you shouldn't be? Oh, listen, he went soul winning wherever he was, whatever he did. He went soul winning with a harlot. Most of us wouldn't even think about approaching a harlot. Hello? Are you too good to witness to a harlot? Are you too good to witness to a Muslim? Are you too good to witness to a black person? Pardon me, ma'am. Are you too good to witness to a Spanish person? Or whatever person you're thinking about now that you just kind of... Are you too good for that? Aren't you glad that the Lord brought the gospel to America?
Amen.
It could have been saturated in Africa, and the African Americans had it. The Africans had it, and they'd have to bring it to us. What would you think then? Hello? Or maybe by God's choice, he would have given it to the Muslims and not us. We've been lost and dying going to hell. You understand what I'm saying? You need to get your thinking straight. We send missionaries to Africa, but we won't witness to an African. Hello? We send missionaries to witness to the Muslim nations, and we put our money in the Faith Promise missions, but we won't witness to one. Something's wrong. Hello? Something's wrong. Jesus witnessed to probably the most repulsive type person you could witness to. We were flying back from Nigeria, Africa, where we'd gone to see my son, and I'd preached for him when Robert, the one you support in Barbados now. By the way, Barbados is a far more difficult field than Nigeria, Africa ever was. By the way, he has wonderful church going there, had almost 500 on her 10th anniversary, and thank God for you who support him, and they has four or five preacher boys over there building churches, and thank God for you support. You see, he couldn't have gone if you hadn't supported him. Amen. Doing a great work. Doing a great work. Those boys in Africa, flying home and flying through Amsterdam, and I was sick as I could be. And Jonathan was sick, and everybody said he should have been in the hospital, and we should have said, no, we're going home. And I had to go to get some medicine. I had to walk through the red light district. There they were in the windows, had almost nothing on, those harlots. You know Christ died for them too? They were in windows like store windows, presenting their wares, trying to seduce men to come and take part of their situation. I had to walk through there to go to the drugstore to get the drugs that I needed to maybe help my body. But those ladies, those women, not ladies, Christ died for them too. Christ died for the people in this town in the worst neighborhood. Hello? And he died for the people in this town in the best neighborhood. The Bible says the fields are white already in the harvest. Say ye not therefore, there are 4 months, and yet cometh the harvest. The world is the field, and so everywhere we go knocking in the world, there are people who will get saved. Amen? Ready to harvest. Ready to harvest. When I get home in a few days, our peaches will probably be ready to harvest. About this size, about like a softball. Just pick them right off. And that's exactly the way it is in your city, ready to harvest. Souls for Christ. Souls for Christ. Souls for Christ. Souls for Christ. Just you have to go out there, and you have to give them the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. Hi, got some good news for you. Tell you how you can know for sure. If you die today, you go to heaven. You'd like to know that, wouldn't you? It's that easy to win folks to Christ. Let's have every head bowed. How many say, Brother Smith, I know I'm saved, have no question about it. I died, not one iota of a doubt in my mind. Here's my testimony with the upraised hand. Would you lift it high?